All right, so say it's Monday morning and you're at work. An email arrives. It's from the boss. He, she is full of enthusiasm. The company has decided to restructure. It will be better, leaner, more agile. Do you still have a job in this new world order? If you do, how restructured is it going to be? I reckon that for most of us, the mental priority list goes something like this. 1, freak out. 2, try to learn as many new skills as you can as quickly as possible. 3, frantically prepare your resume in case you don't cut it in the restructure. Basically go into survival mode. Well, Thea O'Connor is a workplace health consultant who wants to help you with this. Thea, welcome to Life Matters.
Thank you, Amanda.
Now, in a workplace restructure, if you don't get made redundant, it's likely you'll need to adjust to a new role. What does the research say about the effect of all this on your emotional or physical health?
Yeah, so if you're in that situation where you simply don't know what's going to happen to your job as a result of this organisational change or restructure, the research is pretty clear that that anticipation phase, as they call it, it really can take a toll on your body and mind. There've been some really large-scale studies, including the Whitehall one, which looked at thousands of British public servants when they had to endure that, you know, that stage of uncertainty. And some consistent findings are that, generally speaking, employees' health, physical and mental health does tend to decline. Workers will talk about things like having trouble sleeping, putting on weight, perhaps relying on food and alcohol a bit too much to deal with their stress, a flare-up of any musculoskeletal problems, and also symptoms of things like anxiety and depression can also increase. And also conflict within relationships, especially those at home, can also increase. Mm. So it does seem that for the average person, it's hard on the body, it's hard on the mind, and it's hard on relationships.
And hard on the spirit, I think. Mm. Restructuring at work does seem to be constant these days. It's kind of the new normal. Mm. Why this management obsession with organisational change, do you reckon?
Yeah, look, you know, it's going to be different for each organisation, but I think some of the really common ones are, you know, if they've been resource cuts and they're being forced to be more efficient, you know, with less, they have to look at how they're going to do that. I think there's also been just disruption of many professions due to technology, you know, pulling the rug out of careers that used to be really secure, whether that was being an accountant or a lawyer, you know, it looks like all those jobs are going to radically change because of technology. Then there's been increased casualisation of the workforce. I mean, all of those kind of things can force workers either out of work or into new roles, but definitely into the unknown.
Are some people better at dealing with these sorts of changes, restructures at work than others? What are the sort of factors?
Yeah, I mean, I think just from pure observation, we can see that, yeah, people vary quite a bit. And I think some people do have a natural advantage just due to their temperament. And psychologists have studied what they call our intolerance of uncertainty. And you do find quite a variation between people. But if you have a high IUS, that's a high intolerance of uncertainty, that means you're definitely going to be more prone to anxiety. And in fact, psychologists have noticed that a high intolerance of uncertainty is so linked to anxiety that they've even developed a CBT, a cognitive behavioural therapy treatment, for people who just really do freak out, as you put it, in uncertain situations.
This is Life Matters. I'm Amanda Smith with workplace health consultant and health journalist Thea O'Connor, talking about how to survive a workplace restructure. And tell me, have you been restructured at work? If so, what's helped you cope with the changes around you and the changes you've had to make? You can share your story on the Life Matters Facebook page. So now, Thea, you've started running seminars, well, actually webinars, to help people deal with workplace change. What are they for? What do they do?
Yeah, so my focus is on health and well-being in the workplace. And because this issue has become such a pressing one for a number of organisations, I was asked to develop some webinars just to help people deal with uncertainty and change as best they can. Because I really think this is a skill that just about everyone would benefit from getting better at, not just for the sake of our jobs and dealing with uncertainty in the workplace, but I think life in general has become more uncertain due to factors ranging from, you know, extreme weather events right through to President Trump. Life is becoming more uncertain. So how can we equip ourselves to deal with that a little bit better so that we're not quite as prone to that debilitating anxiety that can kick in?
And I wonder, Thea, if uncertainty is, you know, necessarily by definition bad.
Yeah, look, it's definitely not all bad. And in fact, there are some uncertainties that really help make life exciting. You think about going for a bushwalk if you don't know what's ahead of you. That's the most exciting trip. When you've done it 10 times, you know, it gets a little bit boring. So it makes for a good adventure. Or if you think about something like learning or discovery, if there are no unknowns, there's nothing to learn or discover. So it's definitely not all bad. And psychologists who have studied this area say that there are three features that really kind of set apart good uncertainty from the uncertainty that we don't like. So the first feature is voluntary. If we opt into this, we're more likely to like this uncertain situation. The second is usefulness. If we can see a purpose to this uncertain situation, then again, we're more likely to embrace it and not be so stressed by it. And the third one is that good uncertainties tend to be usually temporary. At some point, they will resolve rather than go on forever and ever. So think about organisational change. I guess the worst case scenario is that if the restructure is imposed on employees, workers can't see any purpose.
You see no use to it.
Can't see any use to it, and it seems to go on forever and ever.
On.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
The hardest one.
Well, if you are faced with a work restructure, what are some things you can do to make the uncertainty a bit more tolerable?
Yeah, well, the first thing I encourage, that's given my wellbeing bias, is to recognise it can be a high-risk time for health and wellbeing, which will affect everything from your workplace performance to your mood and your relationships. So really prioritise your health care and your self-care. Don't just leave it to chance.
Self-care.
But, yeah, self-care on the job. And, you know, one of the most simple forms of that is scheduling in just your 10-minute, what I call, renewable energy breaks, just so that you can keep your energy topped up and give yourself to clear your mind and reset your attention into the present. And then I guess you can work with those three characteristics I mentioned. So the first one was voluntary. It's quite possible that this change, you didn't choose it, but you can ask yourself, how can I increase my sense of control and choice around this? What do you have control of at the moment? For some people, it is their health, and that's what they decide to invest their energy into. Or it could be a pet project that you want to ensure you do a good job on. Proactive problem solving also really helps, where you map out what if X happens, what if Y happens, what are the steps that I can take. That really increases your sense of being empowered. And just finding a way to have a say and provide input and to be kept as informed as possible helps. So the second feature was usefulness. Now, you might think this, you know, I can't see any use at all in this change and it's really stressful. But if you've just got an entrepreneurial mindset, so that's one that recognises that change can bring opportunities and that good careers, they're not just built on good planning, but on the ability to be opportunistic and seize the day. Professors Jim Bright and Robert Pryor have looked at this area quite a bit, and they say optimism is the single most important characteristic that can help people deal with unplanned change. So that kind of mindset can help. And then also reminding yourself that this is temporary, it's not going to last forever, and to remind yourself that it's often dealing with the uncertainty that's the hardest bit.
So no point wishing it's just all going to go away, Thea.
Well, you could try that, but I'm not sure how useful you would find it.
Okay. Thea O'Connor is a workplace health consultant and health journalist, and she's running webinars to help you deal with organisational change. You can check out her work. There's a link on the Life Matters program page on the RN website. And thanks for joining us, Thea.
Thank you, Amanda.
And you're listening to Life Matters. I'm Amanda Smith.